All right, turn your Bibles back to the book of Romans chapter 9. We'll continue the Lord's Word and thoughts. I think we went down to 18, correct? So we'll be in the back half, beginning with verse 19. When you get there, stand with me, please, and we'll read our text for the night. Verse 19, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest unto God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my children, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone." Verse 33 closes, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to stand and declare your word. Just bring to my memory those things I've studied and allow me to say those things to feed your people, Lord, and encourage them, Lord, in your word tonight. Of course, Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, we just pray, Father, that through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you'll draw them to Christ for salvation before it's eternally too late. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for giving us this opportunity tonight to worship you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's pick up. As we said earlier this morning, understanding the sovereignty of God, we all know He's in control, right? Of everything, every circumstance, God is in control. And when we say everything, it's just not the condition of the world. And by the way, speaking of conditions of the world, it ain't too good. And it ain't going to get no better till Jesus comes back. But God is still sovereign. Nothing's getting by Him. He's still in control, right? And we understand that, because He's a sovereign God. But what Paul's trying to get across to the Israelites is not only is He completely sovereign over kings, kingdoms, the earth, everything, He's also sovereign over salvation. Now, the Lord didn't have to save none of us. But because of His grace and His mercy and love that He had for us, His creation, born sinners, every one of us, He chooses to offer us the gift of salvation. But not everybody chooses to accept the gift. And because He is sovereign, if a person chooses to accept salvation, he's saved. If a person chooses to refuse salvation, the Lord is not going to force him, the Lord's just going to let him go on with his life. And some folks say, well, that's just not fair. Yes, it is fair. Amen. Now, the gospel, according to the Word of God, says the grace of God, which bringeth salvation unto, has appeared unto all men. The grace of God's salvation has appeared to all, but not all will receive it. And so many people out there, they're either in one extreme or the other. Let me say this before we get started tonight. I believe the reason that Paul is addressing this to the Israelites is, one, they were depending on their own self-righteousness and who they were, children of Abraham, thinking that that made them okay with God and that they were going to go to heaven. It was everybody else that had a problem. Especially them old dirty Gentiles. But understand, the reason Paul is addressing this letter is he wants them to be thankful for their salvation. You and I should be thankful that we've been chosen. Amen. Everyone that has responded to the call of salvation, you're saved. If you placed your faith in the finished work of Christ, you are declared righteous and reconciled to God. And you should be thankful that you are a saint of God and going to be included in that number when we spend eternity with the Savior. Amen? We should be thankful. And that's what he's trying to get across to everyone. Be thankful you've been chosen. What did Jesus say? Many, many are called, but few are chosen. But it's God's will to choose everyone. But it's up to them to respond. All right, let's get with verse 19. Paul goes on to address in verse 19, "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will?" There's a question Paul's trying to answer. Some of you are going to say, well, it's not fair. Why doesn't he look upon those that refuse to be chosen as he does with those that are chosen? Well, God does look on them the same. But the difference is some chose to be saved. Others chose to walk away and not be saved. Look at what it says. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest unto God?" And by the way, remember good old Job? Now listen to me. Job suffered. And it was a test God allowed Job to go through. And Job questioned the Lord. He couldn't wait to ask God, why? Why? Can I tell you, you and I have no right to ask God anything. Who do we think we are? Amen? Lots of folks, I've heard it so many times. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why He took my mother at such an age. Or why He took my child. Or why I was born with crippled legs. There's all of these questions we're going to ask God. We're not going to ask God that kind of stuff. And He don't have to reply. Now, a lot of times He does reply because that's just because God loves us. He's faithful and He's a good God and a merciful God. But we don't have a right to question God any of His actions. Amen? Notice what He says. "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Look at the example Paul's talking about. Jeremiah talks about the potter's house. And the potter and the lump of clay. Listen, the potter can make a vessel that's magnificent, that's beautiful, that's a vessel of honor. He also has the right to make a vessel that's marred. Anybody ever went to a pottery class? I remember when we were kids, we went on a field trip to a pottery there, Hot Springs Pottery. And they had those, I felt so sorry for those people. All of us crazy kids. And then they're trying to show us how to make a cup and all. I made a cup. But that thing, oh my Lord, I was so proud of it. You know, but that thing, I mean, it was pretty much marred. Let me just put it that way. That's the best way I can say. But the point is, God can choose to do what He wants anytime He wants. We can't question that. He makes vessels unto honor. If you've been chosen and you've received, you're a vessel unto honor to Him. If you've rejected the call of salvation, then you're a vessel of dishonor. But the same Lord has made both honor and dishonor vessels. Amen? Because it's His prerogative. He chooses. Now, it's fixing to get good. Notice what it says. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now let's read that real slow again. It says, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, first of all, the Lord is long-suffering. Amen? And boy, I tell you, we are to be praising God for His long-suffering and patience toward us. But if you'll notice, He used those words, endured much long-suffering the vessels of wrath. All of us, born into the world, were born with a sin nature from Adam, right? And we are at enmity with God. We are God's enemies. We have no desire for salvation. We have no desire for the things of God. We are literally just fitted for wrath. And we're fitted for destruction. That word there in the Greek is what they call, and don't know a whole lot of Greek, but I know a little, just enough to be dangerous to myself. It's in the middle voice. And what literally it means is that those that are fitted for wrath choose to be fitted for wrath. That's what it means. And what that means to you and I is that when we are born into this world, we are born sinners and we cannot save ourselves. We don't want to be saved. We don't want the things of God. We love our sin. But because of that sin, we are fitted to wrath. And what that means is we are fitted for hell. And to be honest, all of us deserve hell. Apart from the grace of God, that's where all of us would go. We were fitted for wrath. Those that are out in the world that are lost, they choose to be fitted for wrath, hell. Now look at what it says, to destruction. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Let's look at that again. That He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Now, first of all, previous verse said, there are those that are fitted for wrath and destruction. He's talking about the lost there. Then there are those that He chooses, vessels of honor that shows His mercy because He has what? Chosen them. Chosen them. We've all been chosen. But not everyone's going to receive. Now, look at what it says here. Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see, that's where the rubber meets the road. You see, the Jews banked on, because they were Abraham's descendants, God favored them. Nobody else was supposed to be favored by God. They were to be the chosen apple of His eye. By the way, Israel is. But the Gentiles were the lowest of the low. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you. As an old lost sinner, we were the lowest of the low. Amen? But listen, God in His mercy chose to extend the offer of salvation to not just the Jews, but also to them old, dirty, rotten Gentiles. Thank God for that. We would be in trouble if He hadn't. Now, notice what He says here. He's talking about Hosea. Here He says, as He says also in Hosea, I will call them My people, which are not My people, and her beloved, which are not My beloved. Who's He talking about? Well, in reference, He's talking about the Gentiles, but it's all of us because we're Gentiles. And He's chosen to declare His love for us and offered us eternal life through the gift of His Son. What a privilege. Amen. Now, notice what it says. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Again, referring to the Gentiles. For Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, how many will be saved? A remnant. And as we get down in the chapter, we'll discover why it's just a remnant. Because they stumbled over the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. And because He was crucified on a cross, that's as bad as it could ever be if anyone dies on the cross. The Bible says, cursed is anyone that dies upon the tree. And because they thought they were better than Jesus who died on the cross, they stumbled. And God turned to the Gentiles. Thank God they stumbled. Because you and I, it would be bad for us. But they stumbled, therefore He turned to us and offered salvation. Now, look at Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. As I was looking at that and I was thinking, well, it's been a little over 2,000 years. And Christ finished the work of salvation on Calvary. And yet, we're still waiting. But understand, when it comes to time in God's atmosphere, what might seem like thousands of years to me and you is but a moment with God. And He did make short work of it. Jesus came into the world. He lived 33 years perfectly, sinless, was the perfect sacrifice, went to the cross, fulfilled the will of God, offered Himself for our atonement. God accepted what He did as payment in full. And because of that, you and I now can be redeemed and reconciled to God. And because of what Christ did on the cross, all of those that He chooses and comes to Him are declared righteous. My mind, sister. We are declared righteous. When God sees us, He doesn't see our faults and our old sins. He sees the righteousness of His only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's good stuff. Amen. Now, notice with me what it says. And as soon as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us seed, we'd have been as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah. Let me just stop right there and say this. Had God not, in grace and mercy, extended salvation to His creation, absolutely, we would all be destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, look at what it says in these last few verses. We'll tie it all in to what He's trying to get across. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Understand tonight what Paul is telling the Romans is, when the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached and proclaimed, the Gentiles received that gospel by faith into their hearts, and they were declared righteous. They were saved. That's what they did. And again, the Gentiles were considered the lowest of the low. But they, when the message was presented to them, responded by receiving the message and accepting it by faith. Not based on who they came from or what good works they did. And by the way, let me just say this about works. According to Isaiah, the best we could ever do is filthy and putrid in the eyes of God. The best that we could ever do. So we're not saved by our works and our own self-righteousness. We're saved by grace through faith. So, the Gentiles responded. They were declared righteous by God because they responded to God choosing them, and they responded to the gospel. Now look at what happened to Israel. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Read it one more time. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? They had every opportunity. Yes, God chose them. But they didn't respond in faith. They responded in self-righteous works. So many people out in the world today, self-righteous works. Listen, Jesus paid the price in full, and He did it once and for all, and there's nothing ever to be added to what He did. Amen. I'll reiterate. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, but their idea of the Messiah and the idea of the Messiah that God sent into the world were two different Messiahs and thoughts. Their Messiah would come and deliver them from the burden of Rome and their enemies on a white charger. But God sent the Messiah into the world as a humble servant. And when the Jews saw Jesus They said, he's from Nazareth. We know. How can he say he come from heaven? When we know his mother and his father is Joseph and Mary. So when he died on the cross, they looked down on him. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah because they thought, and I'm serious, they thought they were better than him. And beloved, because of that train of thought, they missed salvation. There's still Jews out there today, and they're wonderful people. But they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. He's already been here. He's coming again. And believe me, when He comes this next time, it will not be to die on the cross. It will be to call His children home. That'll be a good day. That'll be a good day. So again, what were they doing? Self-righteousness. They never obtained it because of their self-righteous ideas of, oh, Abraham, we're his descendants. We have it all. I think I've told the church this several times. I had a Jewish brother-in-law. Loved the man. Reuben Hyman, my sister's husband. Passed away now. It's been how long, Mom? It's been a while. 10 years. Goes by so fast. But being Lori, Mom and Pop, he was Jewish. And I'm here to tell you, when I say Jewish, he was Jewish. He had the first penny he ever made. He would drive, I'm not exaggerating, he would drive 20 miles to save a dime. Don't make sense to me with the gas. But we would talk to him about salvation. Because that I love that man. I'm the one that introduced him to my sister. Because I worked with him in the oil field. Good, outstanding man. But he was lost. And when I would talk to him about salvation, you know what he always said? He goes, John, don't worry about me. I'm one of God's chosen. I'm going to heaven. If anybody gets to go, it'll be me. I'll get there before you because I'm one of God's chosen. Well, again, you can't go to heaven on somebody else's coattails. You must be born again. Now, supposedly, he did make a profession of faith later on. I don't know his heart. I pray he did. And if he did, I will see him. But when it comes to me witnessing to him, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. Worry about yourself. I'm a Jew. God loves me, of course. I'm one of His. So that was the problem with the Israelites back then. They thought they were okay. But look at the next verse. It says, wherefore, because they sought it not by what? Faith. But as it were by the works of the law, works, self-righteousness, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And the Jews today, you go up to try to witness to them, who is it that they stumble at? The stumbling stone, Jesus Christ. Amen? The stumbling stone. And they, again, didn't come by faith. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone. Well, again, who is that stumbling stone? Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. the Jews stumbled. The Gentiles didn't stumble. They understood the message. And by faith, accepted the message. And were chosen. You and I that have accepted the message of the Redeemer and exercised faith in what He did on the cross, received Him into our hearts, you and I will never be ashamed. But to those that stumble over the message of the cross by faith, they fall short. And are condemned. One day we're going to get to go to heaven. Those of us that have been redeemed. And when we get there, you and I are never going to have to be worried about getting kicked out. We will be there for all eternity. But it won't be because we deserve it. Or anything we've ever done in our own merits or works will be there because of what God did when He chose us to be saved. And we just had enough sense by the Holy Spirit to respond and accept it. Now that doesn't make us better than anybody that's out there that's lost, because the Lord still loves them. And He'll always love them. Listen to me. I've had plenty of time to think about this. Those of us that are saved, we will be in eternity with the Lord, and it's going to be wonderful. We can't even conceive how great and wonderful it's truly going to be. But we're going to be with the Lord, and as we were talking this morning, me and Brother Jerry, that's what makes heaven heaven. Jesus is there. But listen to me. Yes, God is a God of holiness, and He's righteous, He's a God of judgment, and yes, all of those that will not respond to His call for salvation, they will go to hell. They will be cast into the lake of fire. That is assured, just as much as heaven is assured for the saved. But listen to me. Everyone that busts hell wide open, God the Father still loves. He still loves them. But He didn't send them there, did He, preacher? They sent themselves because they would not believe in the only begotten Son of God. One other thing, and I'll finish it up. Ephesians chapter 2. Folks, if you want to know the scope of it, study Ephesians chapter 2. Because it begins by telling us, as lost people, what we stand in need of. It describes us to the T. But then it also describes to us God's love and mercy and grace toward us. That if we will just accept His offer of salvation, we can be saved. I used to say, well, if they gathered up all the Bibles and we no longer had the Word before us, what passage would I want to remember and memorize? I used to say, well, John 3:16, and of course, we've all pretty much got that down. But I would like to at least be able to memorize Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. And if I got Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10, I can share that with anyone. And Lord willing, folks can come to a saving knowledge. Stand with me, please.